it's too hot. Oh, it's too cold. I'm going to wear my hoodie and look like the Unabomber.
I rarely complain that it's too hot. Rarely.
I'm thinking back, Usual Suspect style.
No, yeah. You're not gonna dig much up there.
No, yeah, you complain about it being too hot in here every time we drink in my little office with the door closed in the basement.
It gets hot. It gets hot after a while, but it gets genuinely warm in here.
Oh, not facetiously warm or bald-faced liar warm.
Yes, not S. Mike is just bitching about it warm, but really warm.
Oh, is that how you go now?
Is that
your moniker? It's just you have the hoodie on, so it's like,
I just want to refer to myself in the third person, but not be confusing the listeners so that they thought I was talking about you.
I appreciate that. I just feel
that
like
was just what I came up with on the spot. So
you just sound like you're trying to be a Papa's rapper. Yo, S. Mike is not pleased with the present temperature. Why don't you perhaps fix the thermometer and thermostat to where S. Mike likes it? S. Mike out. S. Mike's dropping the mic. That is not S, nor is it Michael.
Right. That wasn't what I was going for, but I think I like that. So S. Mike's going to roll with that.
All right.
We are buddies in space. I am
S. Mike Smith.
And you are Mikey C.
I prefer Mixmaster Mike.
Mixmaster Mikey C. There's got to be the C in there, though.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that one of the Beastie Boys, Mikey C?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
I was never a fan. Okay, I'm actually getting warm now. This is a warm damn hoodie.
It is a warm hoodie.
It's nice. I picked it up at Sears of all places on sale for like $20.
Sears,
which
Robot
for a hoodie
Company.
for a fleece heavy duty lined hoodie like this, and that's
heavy duty hoodie. That's a coat.
Yeah. Well, the wind would go right through it. But other than that...
Like a knife.
Like thousands of pins, really, I guess.
So, like, you ran... Like, Pinhead just ran into you? No. Hey, it's a centipede! Ow! Ow!
No, because his pins were pointing in. That wouldn't really do much.
So he'd just be like, yes! I'm going to pin myself more on you. Ow.
I guess. If he's looking for the extra shot of pain, then yeah, he could just... bonk you with his head.
So Pinhead and Kylo Ren have something in common then.
What?
Because Kylo Ren was punching himself where he got shot.
Oh, okay. No, that's...
Come on, Kylo Ren is a Cenobite?
I didn't care for that scene that very much. But I don't want to get into that rant again. I thought we had vented our spleen pretty well in the last episode.
I will say, just for the record, no spoilers. I told you this, but I read the novelization of the movie.
Which should not be a requirement to enjoying the movie.
I found that it was indeed a requirement for me to enjoy the movie.
Okay, it shouldn't, though.
I agree.
That's ridiculous.
I agree. But I did find that as a story, it was stronger. And it more or less proved my theory that what Kasdan wrote was to some degree overdone by Abrams. So, like, there are scenes in the book that just seemed plausible in the mythos of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And those same scenes as done in the movie were ridiculous.
Was that still Alan Dean Foster writing?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's
still alive?
That's the degree they went to for nostalgia. And he wrote, Splinter of the Mind's Eye.
Yeah, which I read and loved at the time, but I was
of course, Luke and Leia have sex. Why wouldn't you love it? Oh, wait, that seems wrong for... Oh, right, and that's why the continuity thing was started by Lucasfilm. Because someone had a brother and sister fuck.
Yeah, that wasn't... It was Alan Dean Foster, though, so it wasn't like he was like this wild card writer just doing, fan stuff. He's Alan Dean Foster.
I don't actually, I know him as the mediocre Star Wars guy.
Yeah, he's like the mediocre
everything guy?
Novelization guy.
Okay, so he does novelizations.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would try to insert authory things in the Star Wars book, and he'd just be like, Alan Dean Foster, stop. that didn't. I get that you're trying to be poetic. Just stop.
Like what? What do you mean?
It would be like going through verbatim the script.
Right.
And then he would try to insert some, like, personal moment that the character was having. I was like, A, this didn't translate to the screen at all. B, it doesn't translate from a film script to a book very well. And C, he's too wordsmithy at times. It would, like, go from,
it takes,
like,
you out of it?
It really did. Yeah. But, it, like, in a comic, you're like, hee-hee.
Okay, Alan.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it's like, okay, Alan. All right, sit down. It's, you know, that like, you know, in high school, that kid who went to coffee clubs or whatever.
Too many clever words.
Too many clever words. Yeah. Probably dressed in black and smoking cigarettes and had a, you know, beret in high school. That's my theory on Alan Dean Foster.
So, okay, let's just stop talking about this. We can't do it without going into rant mode,
yeah,
or giving spoilers out. But we don't want to have any. This will be a Star Wars spoiler free episode again.
It is, as of this moment on, a Star Wars free episode.
Okay,
I think
maybe unless are we?
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
The thing that we talked about doing,
that we had planned out.
Yeah.
Well, we rescheduled, weeks so in I advance. Forgot.
All right. So are we doing that or not?
5 minutes later. Ha! And you thought I forgot to do this, but it's been right here in my hands. Oh, there the whole
it
is.
How
did
you right
not
there.
See it?
I don't know. I don't know how I missed that. That right in front of me there.
That I didn't run upstairs and pause the podcast recording to go get. So what do we got here? Describe what you see. Oh, let's talk about the drink real quick.
Yeah, because I've got a drink which is tasty. It's rather complicated. Complex. There's some complexity here, but I think it's more because of the mixer.
Yes.
Than the vodka, which is, I mean, pretty. You can't really pick up on the vodka. It's just
there.
It's just there. I mean, it's just, you know, there's alcohol there, but you don't really pick it up. It's a super clean vodka.
It's Russian standard.
Vodka, right?
Vodka. In my country, you don't.
Russian, you're saying Russian standard because that's the label. That's not like, this is standard Russian vodka.
I believe it is named as such due to the fact that it is standard Russian vodka.
But it's a premium vodka.
Yes.
So it's not really a standard, unless you have a very high standard for your vodka.
Of Russian living.
Yes.
Hey, they're doing okay, unless you're gay, in which case you're doing awful in Russia.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
No, I mean, Russia's not doing that great, honestly.
Okay.
You're misinformed on that one.
But it's better if you're not gay in Russia. Can't
yes,
deny that.
That's true. But to briefly step into the world of international politics.
Please
here,
do, because you know how much I keep up with that.
Yeah, Russia's been really, really hammered by a little bit by sanctions, but more than anything, they've been really hammered by vodka, but aside from that,
but I mean, really, that's just part of
their economy has been severely disrupted by the low, 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 low price of oil these days, because their economy is heavily built on that.
Ah,
and they're getting crushed. they're getting crushed by it right now.
Okay,
they don't admit that internally, but that is what's going on.
Okay.
So there you go. In a nutshell. Also, they're a little bit overextended in the war area right now.
Oh.
Having decided to jump in Syria to protect their buddy, Assad, who is their buddy, very, very strong friend of theirs. They're very close is what I'm trying to say.
I'm waiting for you. I feel like there's something you're dancing around.
Without going too crazy about this, they've gotten in. They're bombing. I expect that there are going to be a lot of Russian troops on the ground in the not too distant future, because the bombing's not going to do enough. Honestly, it's not, because we've been doing it. We've been bombing more than they have.
Everybody bomb.
Yeah. And there's only so far you can get when you're trying to fight a war with a group like ISIS, which is heavily embedded in the civilian population. Bombing
isn't
that effective. Yeah. You have to have a strong ground force. Russia doesn't have that yet, but they're going to get to a point where it's either going to be, well, this bombing isn't really going to do much. So we either admit that we're not doing anything, or we just go all hog wild and all in on this and send in ground troops.
So let me ask
you
this.
Just a big cluster. It may make the situation worse.
Okay. But traditionally, going to war is good for a country's economy. Traditionally.
Do you think it's a good distraction from a bad economy?
Do you think that that would be a factor that might encourage Russia to go balls out, as bad an idea as it is?
Yeah, it could. I mean, I don't see how it's going to do anything good for them in the long run. Maybe in the short run, it'll help rally the locals. If Putin is, you know, dropping in internal polls, then, you know, maybe that'd help. But long-term, mid-term, it's just going to be bad. Bad all around. There you go. That's my take.
I now know more than I did before this description of our drink started.
Yeah.
So the drink is...
It's a mess.
It's
They're not the drink.
No, the drink is not a mess.
Russia, Syria, Russia's a mess. Middle East, whatever.
It's a mess. The world's a mess.
But this drink is lovely.
It's a delightful distraction from the woes and weight of the world.
Yeah, so if I were Putin, I would issue this drink out just to everyone.
New domestic drink.
Young, old, women, children, infants, give them this drink.
Well, it's funny you say that because this is a derivative of the Moscow Mule.
That's a good point, yeah.
So it is...
Although not served in a tin cup.
No, because...
And what is up with that? Why are Moscow Mules, the drink, served in a tin cup traditionally?
I don't know if it's because there's a lot of citrus in the drink and that's supposed to do something with the copper, but it's always...
Oh, copper,
it's
right.
It's a copper
right.
mug.
Mm-hmm.
And even the recipe from this, from the artisanal, organic, hipster soda maker, specified copper mug.
Okay.
And I was thinking about if I said, we don't drink Moscow Mules, like, ever, Erica or I, so we don't own them, which is, you would think I would, because I have, like, every type of glassware. But then yeah. I was thinking, for recording a podcast, it'd make a shit ton of noise, like the...
Yeah, the ice hitting, in it makes a lot of noise.
Ice hitting right. the metal every time you mm-hmm. set the mug down. So I was like, yeah, it's kind of a blessing in disguise. But this is Russian standard vodka, lime juice. Actually, organic lime juice, technically.
Ooh.
Well, not technically, it is. So non-organic vodka. I'm sure that's out there. Organic lime juice and organic sip with two peas soda.
Yes.
Specifically a ginger vanilla...
Lime?
Lime.
Yes. So it's soda. It's, there's a lot of lime in here.
There's a lot of lime. It's limey.
It is.
But it's good. It's good. It's an easy drink to drink.
I'll drink it.
When you canceled drink this. On me on Monday... I selflessly
not yesterday, the day before,
2 days ago,
it snowed a lot.
Uh-huh.
It was snowing last night. It was the night before, Monday night. This is Wednesday. We haven't had snow here, like real snow.
That was
here.
The first snowstorm.
That was like
we've
the
gotten.
First real snowstorm, which yeah. arriving in the middle of January is a bit odd for this part of the country.
Yes,
but it hit, and we're like, yeah, we're just gonna stay home because you know why not.
But Erica went alone to yoga.
Yeah, and decided that was probably not the best idea she did that.
Yeah, it was like a normally would be a 4 minute drive, and she was like, it was really bad. She drives a big honking SUV, so if she said it's really bad, I believe her.
Yeah, and my wife and I both have SUVs with snow tires, but we also have a long ass uphill, a driveway that goes uphill to our house.
It's scary in good weather.
Yeah. So we decided discretion was the better part of valor for going out that night and just decided to stay home and do some shoveling. It was fun. It was like, yeah, we're out shoveling snow. Haven't done this in a long time.
I actually made the same decision to forego the snowblower for the shovel a few mornings ago. And yeah, it kind of was
like, yeah, hey, I can do this.
Well, okay, so when it's cold and it's light powdery snow,
yeah,
that's how you feel. When it's slightly warmer and it's that three times heavier wet snow and you're like, motherfucker.
Yeah,
and then people
and
heart attacks and die.
You've got your parka and you're struggling and you're sweating inside.
Oh my God. It's like a river running underneath. Yeah.
A river runs under it.
A river runs through your armpits. Starring Brad Pitt. So, yeah. We have a game in front of us. I do want to talk a little bit about my trip to Austin, Texas, but that can wait till later.
Okay.
That enticing little... I had a very interesting time downtown in Austin.
Oh, you finally went downtown. You've been to Austin a couple of times before?
Yes, and the only time I've ever gone out was to see the Bats.
Yeah, that's cool.
except you can barely see them.
Yeah, it's tough to see it that.
They destroyed my umbrella. it just smelled of guano, which is very hard to describe.
Which is a good thing you had it, though.
I'm very glad I had it. Super glad I had it.
I didn't do the bat thing in Austin, but I have been to like a cave. And then this was back in when I lived in Tennessee. I found out there's like this bat cave, like a
bat cave.
Whatever. Right. 45 minute to an hour drive outside of town. So I was like, hey, well, get a friend, go out to see the bat cave, and it was pretty cool. It was like right at dusk, the bats just start kind of flowing out of the cave.
Could you see them clearly?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
See, that was the problem.
It's like right at dusk, so the sun is just starting to go down, and yeah, they just start coming out, and then like the air is full of them.
You couldn't really see them very well when at the bridge in Austin, at least when we went.
So but that you knew they were there.
You could you kind of got a sense that there was a massive movement of millions of bodies near you, and if you shone your light on it, you saw something. It's like trying to get a picture of Bigfoot. It's always blurry. I don't know why, but it was just a lot of movement. You weren't really sure exactly what you were seeing.
So it was like that scene in Pitch Black. If you had the special contacts, glass, lenses, whatever, you could take off your dark glasses and see them all clearly.
Right. The reason he has that night vision thing is so weird. Did you ever see the director's cut of Riddick?
No, I don't think so.
That's the really bad one, the second one. Because the first one was great, Pitch Black.
No, I thought the second one was all right. I enjoyed the second one.
I really like it, but I don't want to. It's not popular to say it's bad. It's popular to say it's bad.
I think it's cool either way.
It dug the weird S&M aesthetic, and Thandie Newton, burning her eyes as mascara because they're sort of undead. They don't have feeling or anything. I thought it was interesting. It was some interesting ideas.
Yeah.
But
they set up a crazy other world, and they
a lot of investment in that.
Yeah, and I think they did a great job with that. With this is some freaky other world.
These are the Deadites, but we're not gonna call them Deadites. They're the Necromongers.
Necromongers. Yeah. Keep which kill.
it's a simple creed.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think David Twohy, the director, writer of the series, I think he was hanging out with Clive Barker too much. That's me. It's like leather bondage S&M aliens. Yeah, I like the sound of this. You need to watch.
And Pinhead could have fit in perfectly totally well
with the Necromon. Absolutely. There's an amazing opening to, I have the special edition or director's cut of Riddick, and he does a little intro, and he is quite possibly the most full of himself sounding person you'll ever meet.
Wait, Twohy or Barker?
Twohy. Okay. Twohy, whatever.
Twohy.
But he's just like, hello, my name is David Twohy. I am the director and writer of the Riddick series. He talks like that. And I don't know if it's because he's nervous, because he's doing an interview kind of thing. But anyway, the reason that Riddick can see in the dark, there's two very, very different explanations depending on what version of Riddick you see. So, and I think spoilers on this, no one's really going to hear about it.
We're way beyond that.
He tells the girl, the model who's randomly playing his friend, Jack, from the first one.
Right. In the first movie.
In the first movie, grows up to be a model.
Yeah.
Because that, why not? But he tells her that he got a shine job in prison.
That he told her that in the first movie.
Oh, it was in the first one. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so he established that in the first one. But then in the second movie, only in the director's cut, there's a scene where all the Necromongers are just going to kill him. And then I forgot how they cut it in the theatrical version. He somehow survives. But in the director's cut, the ghosts of his ancestors show up. And they zap everybody.
All right, I have not seen this. That and then sounds they're bizarre.
Like, it's bizarre. And then it's like, the ghost of his mother. And she's just like, this is why I gave you the vision, destiny reasons, and you're like, what the fuck is going on? This is what I saw in the theater. What? And then you realize he lied to Jack.
Yeah.
Because it's cuckoo bananas.
Well, honestly, I don't have a problem with him lying in the first movie.
No, I don't either.
He just came up with a bullshit.
It sounded a lot better.
But making it a bizarre, this is your mother's gift to you through spiritual mumbo jumbo.
It's like the all of the dead Furians.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't see that.
It's all the collective despair and rage of all of the dead Furians that the Necromongers killed.
So it's like angry Jedis coming back.
But all they did was give him night vision. That's the only thing they did. If your entire ethnically cleansed race comes back to give you a power from beyond the grave, do you think night vision's really the best option? Can I have laser cock blasting? I don't know.
I would not want that, honestly.
Well, laser assuming you could control it. Let's say it was incredibly well controlled.
Still, seems too dangerous.
I get it, but let's say there was zero risk during sex, and you could say, I'm going to fucking laser cock.
All right, so speaking of superpowers, maybe this is a good segue into this game that's in front of
us
here.
Man, we got off track. Yes. So,
and maybe laser-powered supercock is in here.
Actually, it's almost definitely in here.
It should be, if it isn't.
So we are going to play a couple of rounds of a fabulous game called Super Fight, which we have mentioned on the podcast before. We played it at our friend Josh's birthday party. It's a very simple game, and it's very expensive for that fact.
Yeah, well, you bought it at a non-discount local shop.
Support your local full-priced game store.
Yeah, to an extent. They clean up on other things like magic cards.
Oh, usually. Yeah.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So, do you want to tell us a little bit about how this game works?
Yeah, the premise is pretty simple. So you get three white cards and three black cards.
All right, I have three white cards and three black cards.
Well,
so
then
I'm
doing good so far. All right, well, I know what I'm going with, not because it's the best power, but... So you the white cards are your hero.
Yeah.
And then the black cards are superpowers.
Right.
Although they're not always good superpowers.
Right.
And you are tasked with choosing one of the three white cards and one of the three black cards to start. And that is your superhero and their power.
All right. So I'm having an internal debate here. Do I want to actually try to win, or do I just want to go with something crazy?
That's what I'm doing.
You're going with something crazy?
I'm actually recreating an existing character as closely as I can.
Okay. I am not doing anything of the sort.
Okay.
I am just going with a gonzo thing here.
Give me your discards.
So I'm not using...
Oh, what are you not using?
I'm not using for my character Mike Tyson.
Okay. Possibly a wise choice.
Yeah, possibly not though, because if your character has ears, that would have been a great choice.
Oh, shit.
I'm not doing it though.
Okay.
I am also not using a pirate. Which could have been kind of... I don't know. I just don't like pirates, honestly.
I'm gonna catch flack. They're done for a while.
And I am also not... These are the black cards.
Okay.
Which are the...
The powers.
Attributes.
Attributes, yeah. Powers is not the best word for some of these.
I am not 10 stories tall, which I could have gone with that. I am also not armed with a nail gun.
Huh. Okay, so you're not going the Lethal Weapon 2 route.
Right. Right, exactly. So we'll put those away.
I am not choosing a Vampire Slayer.
Oh, really?
My inclination was to choose a Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, Vampire Hunter D, I'd be all over that.
I know, but I'm assuming you'll get the reference of what I ended up going with. I'm also not choosing a bodybuilder, because I'd probably have small testicles. And that is a weakness.
I would have exploited that for sure.
Yeah, I know you would have. So fuck you for exploiting my imaginary small testicles. So those are the white cards.
Yep.
So for my attributes, I did not choose armed with a crowbar because
armed
with a nail gun.
That's a classic, though.
I know, but I wasn't trying to go with Gordon Freeman.
Okay.
If I had had a dude in a hazmat suit. Yeah. Actually, oh my God, I almost could have. Fuck, I could have done Gordon Freeman almost. Oh, well. And I also did not go with has tiny bird legs because that's not a power.
Yeah, that's more of a negative one, which we might get, as we'll see here in a minute.
That's right. So what we have done, dear listeners, is we have chosen a hero each. And we have chosen an attribute each. But before we do battle with our words and our witty repartee, we are now going to be burdened with the random extra attribute.
Yes.
Pick a black card.
I'm going with something good. Something right there. Oh, that's perfect.
Fuck.
That is perfect.
I don't like the sound of that. Oh, no. I've just lost. This makes my character amazing.
Because you don't know how bizarre mine is.
You don't understand that I just negated my own power. That's new.
All right. Why don't you go first?
God damn it.
You go first.
Are you familiar with Dr. Evil's sing-along blog or Dr. Terrible's sing-along
blog? Dr. Terrible's, yeah. So Neil Patrick Harris.
I am a mad scientist.
Yes.
Who can turn invisible while singing show tunes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So yeah, definitely going
Dr. Horrible.
With an extra ability. But he could have made that ability for himself.
Well, the problem is,
fit in perfectly.
I only believe that I'm invisible.
Oh, that's even better.
So I'm a mad scientist who believes that I can turn invisible while singing show tunes.
Yeah.
I'm at a net loss right now.
But
it ties together so perfectly. I should get bonus points for that.
Well, you're going to be going up against...
Oh, boy.
A cactus.
Okay. So, Pinhead.
I went with a cactus.
All right.
And it's not just one cactus. There are actually 50 of them.
Oh, God damn it. But do they move? Well, we'll get into that.
Do they move?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It just so happens they are wearing rocket-powered roller skates.
What the fuck? Who? What diabolical mastermind? Did I do this to myself?
I think so.
Am I up against one of my own fucking experiments?
This is one of your own creations that has turned on you. Why? 50 cactuses wearing rocket-powered roller skates, and you're singing.
Thinking I can't be seen, but I can.
It's like some horrible nightmare production of Starlight Express. And you're laughing because you got that reference.
As a theater person, you have to. Okay, well, would you like to start? So the way the game works, the way the game is supposed to work when we're trying to win and not fucking ourselves over, is we each get to make a case as to why our hero, super-powered hero with their powers, would win in a fight. And then you go back and forth a few times, and then normally there's a bunch of other people playing, and then everyone votes.
Yes. I don't think there's going to be any voting.
We've created a kind of interesting narrative here. I'm not sure.
I think we have. Because we've got a musical going on, clearly.
Yes.
The cacti, I think we're going to be some sort of prop.
Okay.
Obviously.
Yes.
Maybe it's a desert theme. I don't know.
I was doing an experiment with water and it failed. And so I cut in my mind to a desert scene for my song that I was about to break out into.
Yes.
When the rocket powered roller skates became an issue.
Yeah, because you obviously don't have a stage crew. Mm-mm. So you thought you would, hook all the prop cacti, which you've made as authentic as possible because they're real, they're spiky.
I'm a mad scientist.
They're good.
You don't
screw around.
I made them beyond real.
Yes, they're probably poisonous. Mm-hmm. They have envenomated spikes.
And they're projectiles.
Needles.
As well.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Why would you envenomate something if you're not going to make it a projectile as well?
And to automate the scene changes, you hooked up what you had lying around, which is, I guess, 50 pairs of rocket-powered roller skates.
A bunch of casters and rockets.
Or it could have just been 25 pairs, because I guess a cactus doesn't really need two of them.
You could just have one. You're picturing Cactar, or whatever it is, from Final Fantasy. The little running guy who does the 1,000 needles attack.
But no, I think there's just 25 pair, one skate each would be fine. But now they're going just crazy, scooting around out of control.
Envenomated, projectile needling.
Yeah.
And I'm just singing.
Even if you were invisible, I don't think it would matter. They're non-sentient. They don't have any optical sensors.
Maybe they do,
but if you got really crazy, they could. But I don't think that's even necessary.
The only thing going for and against me is entropy at this point. That's it. So I lose, but I created you, so I guess you lose too.
No, I think depending on what is fueling the rocket-powered roller skates, they could be cruising around for a long time.
The ghosts of their ancestors will give them the night vision.
Yes. So do you want to do the other round and come up with a hero that's going to clean up this mess?
Yeah, I shouldn't have a problem with that. I don't know.
You shouldn't.
Maybe.
The way this game goes, and depending on who you talk to, this is kind of a
house
either a strength or a weakness to it. It you get into this cycle of the next person to go picks a combination that is specifically meant to deal with whoever won the last round.
I am attempting purely to dethrone you at this point.
Right, right. So it's, and that's how the game kind of works out when the couple of times we played it. So it's like a cycle of, oh, I've got this character who beat the last one. Okay, well, I'm going to come up with the perfect combination to defeat your specific character who is the current champion.
And so at that point, the champion, the current reigning champion, only has their words to fall right. back on to make a case for why they would be unbeaten.
Right.
I did not choose a sharpshooter.
Oh.
Or a moose.
Wow. Well, the sharpshooter could have done, I think, some damage.
I think you'll see why.
Okay. Moose would have been in trouble, I think.
Well, especially a really clumsy moose.
Oh, no, you wouldn't want that.
I also didn't choose laser eyes.
A sharpshooter with laser eyes could have, I think, cut right through the cacti.
But I'm going... But,
you've got something else in mind.
I'm going... I don't know. This just tickles me.
All right. Image of this. Lay it out.
To face your 50 rocket-powered, roller-skated cacti, I am a unicorn with cat-like reflexes.
Oh.
So right. I think intrinsically we can see that I am in no danger because I'm a fucking magical creature.
Okay.
Who has cat-like reflexes. So the entropic movements of the cactus on rocket roller skates, not so much a problem. I impale them, I knock them over, and I'm magical. You can't poison a unicorn.
That's a good point, but what's your extra attribute?
Oh, shit, you're right.
You have picked?
Can become mist while holding breath. Where were you before, mist breath? So
even if a cactus gets close to you, you just hold your breath, and it just passes right mist. Through.
Then I turn into John Carpenter. So, yeah, I
really don't have a defense for this. And unfortunately, I think that all of my envenomated needles are probably spent and are embedded in Neil Patrick Harris.
So you're basically just like a somewhat woody,
yeah.
moving. Like...
They're not much of a danger. There's a few needles that haven't actually fired, but the ammo is mostly run out. Yeah, you could just knock them over.
Oh, I get your... And get your cactus.
There you go.
Bam. We're at 1 point each.
All right. I think we're good.
You don't want to play anymore?
Well, that's how the game goes.
Okay.
I think we've demonstrated the game.
Oh, that's all we're doing. Okay. And that was
We may go back and do another one.
After. We're like, oh man, this podcast is running short. Because that happens to us all the time.
We have other stuff to talk about. What? You've already brought it up.
It was just a very like spouse in a difficult marriage kind of thing to say.
No.
We have other things to talk about, Michael.
No, I am excited to hear about your trip to Austin because I have been to Austin a few times. And I think it's a wonderful little city.
It is a wonderful city.
I have enjoyed all of the time I've spent there.
When were you last there?
I was last there. Oh my gosh, that would have been. Probably at least 5 years ago. It was a while ago.
It's sprawling at an alarming rate.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much the city as the area around it. They're having infrastructure problems.
I would expect that. I mean, water is going to be an issue out there.
Well, I'm just talking roads. The roads are not laid out for the amount of commuting. So every time I've been down there, whether I'm driving a rental or I'm in someone else's rental car, it's always a hike. I mean, it's a lot of traffic.
The problem with Austin is it's a cool place. It's very attractive. There's a lot of tech stuff there. There's a lot of IT companies there. Mm-hmm. IBM has a big presence there.
Yes, Dell I think has a big presence there now too.
Yeah, and it's a really nice city, and a lot of people want to go there for both good jobs and for just the cool
the music scene.
The music scene. There's a big improv scene there. Which is, it's bizarre because it's the middle of Texas.
Super conservative Texas.
Yeah, but it's this relatively very, very liberal, very cosmopolitan city.
Everyone I work with talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a point of pride. And they're all like, we'll make a point because I'm a New Yorker and I'm a New York Stater, not a New York Citier. But they take it as I'm looking down on them because I think they're all Texans. And I don't say anything because I know better, but they're like, you know, we're a very liberal city. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. You've told me that the last few times I'm here. I mean, it's cool. I get it. But there's a touch of defensiveness.
Yeah. Understandable. Yeah. And the city slogan is?
Keep Austin weird.
Yes.
Not to be confused with keep Portland weird, which I'm a little confused about.
Yeah, I wonder which came first there.
I know. Austin says Keep Austin Weird came first. I'm not sure. I think it's Keep Portland Weird. Yeah, because Portlandia. It's because they have a, that's where I heard it was.
Okay. Portlandia. It seems to make more sense in Austin.
I don't know. Portlandia is pretty weird.
Yeah, but I don't think there's any...
just kidding.
I don't think there's any chance of Portland not being weird.
Well, okay.
Whereas Austin's in the middle of Texas.
So...
And there might be kind of a, you know, a mentality is like, hey, we have to keep this little spot of Texas.
We are
weird.
An oasis of weirdness, yes. in a state of oversized guns and meat and conservative ambition. It's funny you say that because yes, I had an extremely weird series of experiences in downtown Austin.
Awesome. Did you go on a Segway tour?
No. So it started with, I went with one of my coworkers, a very interesting guy. Going on 50, looks like he's in his 30s. It's a gallery artist. Does very avant-garde stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, like, when I say interesting, I don't mean it badly. I mean, he's just a generally interesting person. You're mm-hmm. like, I want to talk to you because you're just not normal in a good way. So we went to this amazing Italian restaurant. It was a farm-to-table Italian restaurant.
Okay.
Yeah, odd.
Yeah, but sure.
It was great. It was delicious.
I would say, you know, go for a ribs place or a Tex-Mex.
But that's all like they order for us when we're down right. there. Because I was at nonstop meetings for 2 days.
Sure.
So like I get a lot of meat. Good. So there was one night we're out and I'm like, I'm going to expense a nice meal. Which is funny because I was on the phone for 20 minutes with Gail in the whatever department that is. I don't know, it's part of human resources because I might have expensed too much and not really got in trouble, but... needed to fix it and pay a good amount of it myself.
All right.
We have policies on how much to spend, and like I really don't know what they are. And I had spent a cent that day, and I'm like, well, I'm going to go out for a nice dinner and expense it because I think I could do that. And I was like, well, no, you can't. So anyway, so dinner was good. So we rolled out of there. We rolled up to 7th Street, so where my coworker wanted to go out. And there's it's a good long stretch of bars. And all I wanted, Mike, was live music.
All right, you're in the right place then.
I'm in Austin on a hopping Tuesday night, and it was dead. It's 8 o'clock at night, and Dan and I are looking around. I'm like, fuck, wait, is Tuesday not the night to go out in downtown Austin? It's 8 o'clock. Like, most places are, there's something happening at this point. So we're walking, and we hear this amazing fiddler on the street corner.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're like, okay, so that's cool. We probably should have stayed there for a little bit, because she was actually really good. So we walked the entire length of the bar scene of 7th Street, and then we're halfway back before we found any music we wanted to listen to.
Oh.
Because it was really dead. But there were bands playing at every place you passed.
Okay, well, so, yeah, the music
live
was
music
going.
Everywhere. But, like, we would stop and listen and be like, eh, honky tonk. Bad honky tonk. I think it's honky tonk.
So what did you finally settle on?
So we settled on a guy named Adam. Shit, I'll think of his last name. Adam something. Rogers with a D.
Okay.
And he had the voice of an angel.
Oh.
He was switching between like Matthews and Johnny Lee Miller, and he was covering it all, and he was fantastic. And he was basically having a conversation with us because Daniel and I were the only two people other than the two people at the bar. We felt so bad.
It can be cool though to be in the audience in that situation.
It was. He was chill and he was like ordering a whiskey every 10 minutes because what else was he going to do? He was playing for like two dudes.
Did you buy him a drink?
Were we supposed to do that?
I don't know.
I tipped him.
Okay.
He had a big
bucket. You effectively bought him a drink.
Nah, I didn't tip him that much. Although drinks in Austin are dirt fucking cheap. So yeah, maybe I bought him that cheap ass whiskey he was getting. He was drinking for free though.
Okay. Yeah. You know.
I assume so. Oh, now I feel bad. He was good. I should have bought him a drink. But he was pretty funny because he's like, he pointed at me. He's like, who's your favorite band? And I was like, Lord Huron. And he goes, oh, yeah, I love Lord Huron. And I got really excited. And he goes, I have no idea what that is. And then he goes, well, would it have been cool if I did? And I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, you're funny. So I would have been content sitting there the whole time. Because he was actually that good. Just a dude with an acoustic, electric acoustic. But Danny was like, oh, I want to go find some, because he's a photographer. So he's like, I want to go find some other places and get fun shots.
Okay.
So he left for a while to go find the fiddler and she had gone. So
was this at night at this point? Or?
Yeah, it was like 9 probably at this point. Because we burned half an hour going all the way down and back.
Right.
So while we were walking, I got hit up for money from about 10 not really homeless looking people.
Yeah.
So that's a higher in the amount of time happened.
Even
that,
for New York, that would be like...
For New York, that's crazy high. Because New York is a police state now, New York City.
Well, okay.
So that's it. I was like, wow, like my defenses are coming up in a way that even they didn't in New York. And then a guy very aggressively walked with us trying to sell me Molly and Coke. And he's like, yo, it's real good. I'm like, okay. I don't doubt it. It could be fucking orgasmic. It could be organic, orgasmic, artisanal Coke. I'm not going to buy it. But all I kept saying was, I don't have any cash, dude. I'm sorry. I was what I said to everyone. I just got into the old habit of saying, I don't have any cash. Because that gets most of the homeless people off your back.
Yeah.
But of course, this guy was an entrepreneur. So he was like, yo, bro, there's an ATM we just passed. And I'm like, I don't do drugs. I was just trying to sound lame to get rid of him at
that
point.
And to be fair, you don't.
No. So why would I buy? I mean, that's
certainly not Molly from somebody that you find on the street.
You're trying to sell me drugs. Like, I don't think I look like a cop, but that takes balls. That's like, damn, dude, okay, you're just telling me exactly what you got, and it is illegal as fuck. Good for you. But the weirdest part, that wasn't the weirdest thing that happened. So we went into a honky-tonk bar, and I wasn't really feeling it. So then we ended up at a place that had a band that basically wanted to be Stevie Ray Vaughan, and they were doing a pretty good job of it.
All right.
It was good. You know, the guy had the look. He had the hat, you know, the flat-brimmed hat and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a good blues guitar?
Yeah. Yep. Three-man band.
It was nice.
Good music.
Nice.
So I went outside to call my wife because, you know, hour difference. I want to check in before she went to bed to say goodnight. And I went outside and a dude comes up to me and he's trying to chat me up. And I'm just waiting for the pitch so I can say no. Because at this point, I'm out of cash anyway. And he's like, well, listen, man, I just want to make people happy. So listen, man, you got really nice shoes. I want to waterproof your shoes. And I'm immediately thinking, like, is this a sex thing? No, I've never heard of that.
I want to air quote waterproof your shoes.
Unless he's
quote.
Telling me he wants to urinate on my feet, I don't think it's a sex thing. But I was able to confirm this. So I'm like, I got the phone in my hand and I'm like trying to figure out a way out of this. He's almost got me cornered up against the wall with like, he's in between me and the bar that I want to get back into. And I'm like, this is just fucking bizarre. So then a woman comes over to us, she's a little drunk, and she sees he's got a cigarette. And she's like, hey, can I buy a cigarette from you? And he's like, and he genuinely felt bad. He's like, I'm so sorry. I don't have any more cigarettes. Here, I'll tell you what. And he fishes in his bag, and he pulls out a spray bottle, opens it, and he waterproofs her boots. Unsolicited. And she's drunk, so she doesn't react right away. And she's like, hey, what? And he's like, no, it's okay. It's okay, sweetheart. I just waterproofed your boots. And she's like, hey. Thanks. And I'm like, I'm out. I'm done. He's distracted. The raptor is looking at the Tyrannosaurus Rex. I'm getting the fuck out of this.
You could have had your shoes waterproof.
They don't need them.
How do you know?
Because they're still fine to this day. But yeah, that was, and that still wasn't necessarily the weirdest part of the
night. I have to ask, did you see you got a good look at whatever he was keeping the waterproofing
it was
aerosol
in?
Was it a squirt bottle?
No,
or?
It was in an aerosol can that looked purchased.
Okay.
Like he had to pull the top off it. And
you couldn't see the label. I'm really curious as to what he was. Was it just hairspray or something?
Mike,
or?
At that, it was a short, it didn't look like a, it looked like a shorter can. I don't know if that makes it waterproof.
Because I'm curious as to whether, you know, this is something you can just go and buy, or this is some sort of experimental thing this guy
it,
had
like, it was
going
acid
on.
That ate her feet off after I walked away.
Maybe he was working on a science project. I don't
mad
know.
Science. Maybe he thought he turned invisible when he sang show tunes.
Yeah.
Too.
There's so many questions about this.
I understand that I am not terribly ashamed to admit that that was the name brand of the can was not my main focus at that point. To get the fuck out of this weird ass situation, because I wrote it out about as much as I could bear, was the focus. So and he was like, hey, come back. I'm like, I'm good. And then I went back into the bar. And then,
there's more?
Oh, yeah. And this time I did wind the person up.
Nice.
So we were using Uber because everyone in New York uses Uber. So we were New Yorkers. And so my coworker's like, oh, I'll just Uber us around, you know, because that's a verb. So we got our Uber guy.
Austin seems like it'd be a good place to Uber, I would think.
If we did not wait long. I mean, it was maybe a minute. It was that quick. And we got in and the dude had like a tablet and a phone set up because he was like tracking the demand to see what part of the city he should be near so he could get there quicker. Like, you know, obviously what he was doing.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, kind of talking to us and somehow we got on the topic of religion.
Oh, no. Oh.
Well, okay. So,
oh, that's... No, you don't want to be
right
there.
Right, in Texas. But this guy was strange enough in a cab where you're trapped. But this guy, so he starts out with like, oh, you know, I escaped from the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, oh, that sounds fascinating. I'm like, I grew up kind of in a cult. Like, we should talk. And Daniel, like, wanted to check out. And I'm like, you know what? Like, he's on his phone. He's checked out of the conversation. I'm going to see where this goes.
All right.
And I'm so you're glad and sorry that you're I invested.
I'm in.
And I didn't even really get into my background. I just let this dude talk. Because the more he talked, the crazier he sounded. So it's like, yeah, you know, I was in the Jehovah's Witnesses and you know, I escaped and there's a whole like network of people to help you get out and you have to start your life over. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I've seen shows about this. Like, I totally get it.
Right.
This guy seems legit and I genuinely felt like bad for him.
Yeah, there's this whole thing about the, they call them the Lost Boys of, maybe I'm confusing it with...
Not with vampires.
No. I'm confusing it with the other Utah Mormons. Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay.
There's, I think there might be some overlap though. I did have a friend back when I used to live in Indiana, way back when. And
I like that you literally pointed back.
Yeah, way back. I'm not sure if I'm pointing in the right direction, but I'm ballparking in here.
That's north.
Okay.
So you'd be southwest?
Way back.
Way back. Okay. I'm glad we figured that out.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I used to work at a pizza place.
Mm. Volcano Joe's.
Volcano Pizza. No, volcano just pizza. Volcano. Greg's Volcano Pizza.
Greg's if Volcano. You want to be I got the volcano part.
It was good pizza. Good ingredients. Good all around. Local brand. I endorse it. If they're still around. Still and I around. Assume they are because it was damn good pizza.
It was volcanic.
It was volcanic.
It was an eruption of flavor in your mouth.
So yeah, there was this guy who was one of the assistant managers there. His name was Dave. And he was raised as a Jehovah's Witness. Mm-hmm. He was a little crazy. But in like a fun way.
Okay.
Dave was great, but he would like get kind of like psychotic sometimes. So I stayed on his good side,
like,
of course.
Like stabby psychotic?
Yeah, but not really. It was okay. Like it was like kind of joking psychotic.
Because you know what just happened to Geneseo?
Oh, no.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Okay.
Okay.
I missed that. Uh-oh.
Yeah, oh, that's been in all the news. Well, I know something in the news you know.
I haven't been reading Geneseo news. I'm sorry.
No, it was like national coverage. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, like we had this kind of running joke, which is less and less funny these days, but it was funny back then. Mm-hmm. Dave would just get angry at people, like customers and other employees, and mm-hmm. he would never really do anything, but he would get angry,
mm-hmm.
and we'd joke about it. The joke was like after I'd left and like gone away to college, I would send him a gun, and he would open the package and be like, "Yes!" and just go crazy. It was a joke, though. It was a complete joke. And,
wow, yeah.
And these days, I would
you
not...
You can't make that joke anymore.
But this is like back in the 80s, and that wasn't really...
When there weren't...
That was like
Columbine.
All pre-Columbine, way before Columbine.
Pre-Columbine,
and you could joke about something like
yes.
that. But anyway, he was a fun guy. He was into a lot of cool music, and we hung out together. But he had some issues from the Jehovah side. Did not get along with his father at all.
Mm. Well, his father's still in...
Yeah. And he was really unhappy with I think he felt he'd been really cheated out of a proper education, which is one of the big things.
Dave felt that.
Yeah, my friend Dave.
Yeah, probably.
Because you had to, like, you couldn't go to school after a certain age or something, which seems crazy to me. And Anyway, so back to your Uber driver.
So he was... kind of generically talking about escaping the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah.
And then he starts telling me about... So I'm thinking like, okay, this is going to be an interesting conversation because no one in their right mind is still going to be religious after that. No one in their right mind is still going to be religious after that experience. So then he's like, yeah, but you know, I'm still really trying
because
to...
Because you're not. Because that's where you are. That's your...
My experience has been with those who have had traumatic experiences with religion. They don't tend to be continuing to go to a church.
Okay.
That has been my experience.
Okay.
So, but yes, I was definitely transferring, in this case, my own set of experiences. So he starts telling me about taking his son to a Pentecostal church.
Pentecostal?
Yes. And he said, the first thing
that's
he
like,
says
that's
is...
That's like the holy fire.
The first thing he says is, everyone said that they handled snakes at that church, but it wasn't true. And I'm like, alarm bells start to go off, and I'm like, no, let's keep with it. So like, the question started to pop up in my head, like, well, if you have a son... Like, did he escape with you? Like, I wanted to ask these things, but I was just heading down this rabbit hole of weirdness and I was going to follow through. So she's like, yeah, and you know, I'm a big outdoorsman. My son is too. And they had a prophetess there. And then it's like, okay, alarm bell number two. Prophetess does not come up in normal conversation. And I'm trapped in a cab with this guy. And he's like, yeah. And you know, she went up to us. And the first time I went to this church, and she just started telling us things about ourselves that no one would know. And we were looking at each other like, how does she know? And I'm like, all right, it's getting weird. And then he goes, but you know, ultimately what it comes down to is that there is a hierarchy of demons, and the different hierarchies are assigned to each city in the world, and they try to corrupt people in different ways.
Oh, and it's like Supernatural.
I felt like I was, it was like Sam and Dean Winchester in the back, and our dad was lecturing us before he went to hell. And yeah. And at that point, like if Daniel hadn't checked out, I think he'd probably forced himself to. And I knew roughly that our hotel was coming up. So I was like, thank God. Because I was at the limit.
Oh, see, you are still religious.
Thank his God that he was going on his merry way. And I was not. It's figure speech. So, yeah.
This guy lives like a movie, I think.
Basically, he's like a nighttime Uber driver telling people about the hierarchy of demons trying to take over different cities of the world.
And doing battle with them on occasion, I would assume.
Well, because they're trying to corrupt your soul. I mean, he's very clear on that. No, I believe actually he said they're trying to steal your soul.
Maybe he's hunting them. Maybe that's why he's an Uber driver.
Ooh, yeah, that's a scary thought. Because that's just a serial killer. I know Supernatural is kind of cool in theory, but I'm fairly positive it's not real. Which means that when you kill someone because they're dressed like a goth, you're just murdering someone. And your beliefs stop being a reason to get away with murder, literally, at that point. So maybe we narrowly escaped being murdered because we were godless heathens from the East Coast. Which I just assume is what everyone thinks about.
Maybe he was testing you somehow, but you passed.
I passed because I just kept the fucker talking. So that was interesting. So yeah, it escalated. It went from like, okay, I don't really look homeless, but maybe it's because the weather's a lot nicer down there, so they don't look as raggedy. But I am a series of panhandlers asking for money. To I want to sell you fairly specific illegal drugs. To I want to waterproof your shoes, and I'm not even bluffing because I'll fucking waterproof this woman's shoes. Give me a reason. To the dude is telling me about the hierarchy of demons who are trying to steal people's souls in different ways depending on the city you're in.
So
I should have asked him for a map.
Yeah, because he probably had them. Yeah, he probably handed them out.
Then it's going to get weird.
And that would have been awesome, though.
Then I become an accessory before the fact or something. It's like, so you knew that he was mapping out. And it was like,
so I have to ask, do we know what demons we have in Rochester? Did you ask him that?
No. No, there is, you know.
I mean, I want to know now. What do we have to expect here? What should we be on the lookout for?
Obesity and freezing to death. Somehow stealing your soul. There you go. I think, you know what? I got into this guy's head enough that I can wear his skin a bit, and that's what he would say.
You know, you're talking like a serial killer.
I'm doing it on purpose. Just because you kill people doesn't mean they didn't have it coming.
All right, so what kind of demons do we have going on in Austin? Or did he get into that? I'm just curious. You know,
he did.
If you got any sort of specifics.
I was in control of the situation enough to not let it go too far in any one direction. So I like kind of drove it back to escaping from the Jehovah's Witnesses a bit. But,
Where are the cards? I need to do a little bit of divination here.
Oh, shit.
So I think what we have in Rochester, okay. I'm guessing.
So if you were to pick a demon and the power that demon yes. had for Rochester specifically.
I think Rochester is plagued by zombies. that shoot acid.
That's terrifying. Why is this not a thing we know about?
I don't know.
Man, that's
you'd think that would be in the papers. Scary. But maybe it's
the zombies just are covering
the zombie
up.
Demons are doing a great job of covering it up.
They have the best possible.
What?
No, that's not a.
That's not a real one.
No,
there.
That's not a real card. I'm like, that is a long. That's a lot of bullet points. The acid shooting zombies have an incredible PR department. But you would need to steal souls.
You know, we do have that, don't we have the annual zombie walk?
Everyone has that now.
Okay. That's because they're taking over everywhere, Mike.
No, because there'd be infighting between the different demonic hierarchies. I'm sure there's something more powerful than demons that shoot acid. I mean, come on. If Rochester got demons shooting acids. Hey, man. Hey, Beelzebub. You ever take acid? You ever shoot it? We got to try this, man. I'm seeing, like, people everywhere. They're all melty faced. It's crazy. It's like they're all demons.
It's like their faces aren't melted at all, though.
It's like their faces are non-melted. What's up with that? Your face looks completely normal right now. And your name's Beelzebub the Melty Face Guy. But you have to figure if Rochester has zombies shooting acid in demon form or vice versa, then New York City's going to have something way scarier.
I would think so.
I mean, really, if I had a hazard guess as to what New York City had and Super Fight were going to help me, I would say that this is way scarier. New York City has vegans.
Well, we know that.
That shoot acid. Oh, I apparently picked the exact same card.
I sense a theme here.
I definitely sense a theme, and that is that all demons shoot acid. I thought I put it in the back.
It does beg the question, though. Are they expelling acid, which burns people somehow? Or does
it burn their souls?
Or do they
shoot acid? So you're saying that maybe that's why we haven't noticed this.
Because yeah, they're too busy shooting acid
constantly.
And we got these damn addict zombies.
That does explain Squirrel Man and Oneonta.
Oh, man. Brains are so last Thursday, man.
Give me acid. Maybe Molly tomorrow. Hook it to my veins. I don't
if only my blood was pumping.
Oh, they collapsed. Hook it to my brains. All in all, it was a fun time. It was an amazing dinner. La Travatia. I don't know. Something Italian.
Trattoria?
No, it was a V.
Okay.
Travatia. I think it was Travatia.
Travesty.
La Travesty. Madame Butterfly. Great restaurant. Maggie Mae's. Every Tuesday night, you can find Adam Rogers. He's very good. Highly recommended. Yeah. And then if you walk up the street a bit, there's a Stevie Ray Vaughan band. I don't remember where it was. It had a long name. The Dizzy Rooster. I don't recommend the Dizzy Rooster. But that's because I don't like honky tonk.
Well, your experience was a little weirder than I think mine was. The strangest thing I think I saw in Austin was Del Close sitting on the curb having angry discussions with the cars that were driving by.
Nothing about that is in any way not in alignment with what I think of Del Close.
Yeah.
Being like, that sounds cool. I would trade mine for yours.
This was a long time ago. It was a long time ago. It was.
He dead now.
I know. This is like mid-90s, so I think that was, wow. It was pretty close to
when he passed.
One of the last times, people saw him. But he was there. It was an improv festival, obviously. Mm-hmm. And he was there to do a workshop. And I and some of the other people were like, I'm going to take a Del Close workshop so I can say I took a Del Close workshop.
Jesus, yeah.
Hell, yeah.
Now he's just a zombie shooting up acid. I wouldn't take it now. But then, when he was alive, shit, yeah. Was it a good workshop?
I think so. He did not hesitate to tell you something was crap or to have you try it again.
Well, that's cool.
It was cool. It was a long time ago, so I don't remember it.
And you weren't, it must have been not that.
I remember, I mean, certainly far and away, him sitting on the curb and arguing with vehicles was
the most.
Was a more powerful memory.
Understandably so.
Yeah. But it was a good time. Good time in a good city.
When I waited on the guy who plays Cam from Modern Family, Eric Stone Street, very nice guy, very kind of sketchy, douchey seeming straight guy, which is funny because of the character.
Which one is the character?
He's the larger of the two gay guys.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very nice. But I was waiting on him. It was in the tavern, so it wasn't a formal situation. And I didn't want to be too intrusive, but I was like, hey, you know, I love the show. And I was like, hey, I'm sorry to bother you, because he was waiting for someone. I was like, did you worked with Del Close? And he was like, yeah. I was like, what was it like? At what point? Because, you know, he got crazier over time.
Yeah.
But he's like, oh, no, I think he worked with him at the right time. So it's like, he was great. That was it.
Yeah.
As my interaction with him, but it was cool. I was like, I touched someone who touched Del Close. Oh shit, I've touched people. I've been touched by someone who was touched by Del Close. This got weird. But I don't think that's a bad thing to tell someone something's bad and then let them try it again. When I was taking improv in New York, everyone was so politically correct about everything that, like, you pay money for an improv class in a reputable improv school in New York City. You expect a little bit of edge. At least I did, right? I wanted to be challenged, and I never really... That was a big sticking point for me.
Oh, man. Do we want to go down this rabbit hole? I guess we already sat down it. It's an industry, first of all.
Right. I was in an improv mill.
Yes. And part of that, I mean, it's there to make money as much as they can.
Oh, yeah.
So... I would hazard to guess is that giving people lots of positive reinforcement is much better at getting people to come back and take more workshops than saying, you suck, you need to do this again any number of times. And I think you're going to get more positive just because that's more money.
No, I get it. I mean, but that for someone who had enough
experience. I'm being terribly cynical about this.
I spent time taking multiple classes at Upright Citizens Brigade and the Magnet. The Magnet. I skipped the Pig, People's Improv Group. Or Pit, People's Improv Theater. Pig was pretentious improv group in Rochester. But yeah, that was in alignment with the experiences. I think I went to Upright Citizens Brigade initially years ago, like back in 2005. And 2004. And that was a little earlier before the whole improv mill like really caught on in New York.
I think in the 90s when I was doing the festival in Austin, the main scene was still very much in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was I think they could have just peed on people at Improv Olympic and they still would have been filling up classes because that it was such a huge draw there.
Okay, so maybe it had already played out. I felt like I was getting better instruction at that point when I was there earlier, but I was also more of a neophyte to improv as compared to when I went back. So maybe I just knew more and it was like, oh, these notes I'm getting are really not helpful, but they were more helpful when I was new. So I'm getting the same notes, like, be more spontaneous. You know what I mean? Like, you have a set number of lexicon of notes you just give everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, no, maybe I didn't phrase that right. I think they could have just hit people and been as mean as they could have possibly been.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
At Improv Olympic in Chicago, and people still would have kept coming back for the classes.
Well, because it was happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, by the time I went back, especially in 08, it was just a mill. Like UCB, I ran away from there as soon as I could. And the Magnet was newer and a little hipper, but in the end ended up having a lot of the same issues.
Yeah, in Chicago it was definitely this is the route you need to take to have success and to have to get on Saturday Night Live and to get your own TV show. You know, that was the grail, and people were really willing to go through, you know, whatever hoops that people put in front of them to get that success.
Whereas
I think in New York when you were going through it, it was more, there are probably a lot more people who were like, this is fun. I'm going to do this to because it sounds like something fun to do rather than.
There was definitely a set of people.
This is what I have to do to get the success I need.
There was still that. And a couple of people, there are a number of people in Hollywood now in the comedic world who are UCB grads.
Oh, well, yeah, sure.
You know, so clearly there's still, I just failed to get into that mode of the whatever mindset you and track you had to be on. To like really get challenged and push yourself and be really good. But I was already older at that point. I wasn't going out at night to go every night of the week like a lot of those kids were. So, you know, to go to shows and do open like mics, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it was still fun and I'm glad I completed the base core training in at the Magnet, but it just felt like someone patting me on the ass the whole time. Ultimately is what it is. Yeah, some crazy shit happened to Geneseo. Murder, suicide.
I missed this. What happened? Any townie, anyone that you are...
Not townie, but I guess it was a college dropout. Was dating a girl, an athlete who was in Geneseo. And she like broke up with him. And I guess started dating another athlete who was currently a Geneseo.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy called his dad and he's like, I'm going to kill her and myself. And then went and bought a big knife and killed her and her boyfriend in bed. They might have been asleep at the time. They're not sure. And then killed himself with it.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, like my aunt, who nowhere near Geneseo, she like Facebook messaged me. She's like, did you hear about this? I'm like, yeah, it's really fucked up. So Geneseo is a small place. Like, yeah. Someone gets a broken nose from a frat fight. That's usually about the biggest news. You know, so this kind of like crazy. But
yeah, so you're probably like one or two people away from whoever this
happened. I'm sure. Yeah, there's always that degree of, you know, I'm not that far removed from college that. But yeah, it just was interesting. But it was just scary because the RIT thing, like 2 months ago with the kidnapping.
Yeah.
It was drug related.
Yeah.
This was either mental instability or drug related, I'm sure.
Or both, you know. No need to.
Yeah.
No, not why pick just one?
Yeah. Let's go for the full gamut. Yeah. Wow. I don't want to end this on a downer.
No. Jeez.
So Austin's fucking weird. It's cool.
And your son had a birthday.
Oh, yeah. My kid turned two.
That was big. That was a big deal. You had your first party here.
No, second.
No, second? Really?
Yeah, we had a first birthday. Oh, did we not invite you? Oh, that's all good.
I probably wouldn't
have. I think your wife was there.
Maybe.
Maybe. It was a big party.
It was just, I was there for this one, the second birthday. It was a little disturbing.
You did good.
I felt a little withdrawn.
Well, I would expect nothing less.
There were several children running around doing things.
Oh my God.
Lots of things.
The nerve.
Making noises.
Breathing.
Eating.
Slobbering.
Yes, there was goo, I think, that they were generating.
Goo is to children the way ectoplasm is to ghosts. It's just, you par for the course. Yeah, I was dreading it because I was just sure something was going to go horribly wrong. Because we haven't had that many kids around, and our kid was one of the youngest. But we had a couple of cancellations, which helped keep the number of children in check.
Yeah, had there been, one or two other children there?
It would have pushed it to the limit of something. But actually, of the kids' parties I've been to, this was pretty great.
All right.
We kept it moving. The only, incident was just kids getting riled up at the end with Captain Hook toys.
Yeah.
Which apparently was a problem for one of them to begin with.
I find it interesting that even someone like myself, who really wants nothing to do with children, in this situation where there are this many children around, I find myself having to keep children from doing dangerous things.
Were you part of the altercation?
No, the altercation.
Oh, dangerous things, not the mock fight.
No, not the chasing someone else around with a fake hook. The other person had a fake
a knife? Dagger.
Dagger?
It was a dagger. Yeah. It was real. It wasn't fake. I just like to mix real knives in and see what happens. But
yeah, even I had to, at a couple of points intervene and say, no, child, you cannot do this
thing. Your head does not go in that thing, or that sharp thing does not go in your ear.
This is a dangerous thing for you to do, child, and you must turn away.
Turn away, child. You shall not injure yourself. You did have that staff and the long flowing hair for some reason. It was very strange. But then it was gone like that.
Yeah.
But no, it was, everyone seemed happy. The favors were a big hit.
Yeah, you had the little, that like Happy Meal boxes.
Of piratey.
That were treasure chests.
Yep.
Pirate treasure.
It was all Jake and the Neverland Disney merchandise theme.
Yep, big Jake theme, which I guess Simon's is a fan of.
He
but
is.
Have you decided you need to kind of wean him off of it now?
No.
Or is that just one of the other kids?
It was just one of the other kids.
All right. So apparently, for some kids, it's too violent.
For one kid, have you heard of this being for anyone else?
No, I don't know. I don't pay attention to what is or isn't good for children, Mike. You should know this by now.
Well, it's good for Disney, so it must be good for children. My son does gravitate towards Hook because he finds him funny, because he's the fop of the cartoon, but he doesn't become violent from watching it. So that seems to be isolated.
Okay.
Yeah, we tried to show him the jungle. Well, we showed him part of the Jungle Book tonight, but he was just bored by most of it. Look at all the animals, but it's a very, we didn't remember, it's a very slow-moving movie. I remembered it being more shit happening. But
yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it. I've seen, bits of it.
It's cute.
Yeah.
But it wasn't cute enough to hold a two-year-old's attention. I mean, he's not really old enough for movies. We just wanted to show him, it's his birthday, so we wanted to show him something today. It's, out of the ordinary. But yeah, he didn't really care. So.
But he seemed like he was having a good time.
He had a great time. He bounced in the bounce house with...
And he was like, he was the youngest kid in this.
That's why I was so worried, because it was a big age difference, at least a year.
Yeah.
His size helps. He's so freaking tall that he seems older.
So he was in the bounce house with other kids?
He survived the bounce house with every other child. I think I looked at pictures and stuff, and he did the full round of everyone. And, you know, we made sure to pull him out so other kids got a chance. But yeah, he won, pinned the doubloon in the treasure chest.
Was he cheating, though? Could he see?
No. It was just the exact right height for him.
So you set it up so he would win, basically.
Well, no, because it was the exact right height for other kids, too. It just happened to be for him as well, because he's so tall. No, we just didn't. We only spun the oldest kid around, so all the other kids got to walk straight. So the first kid to go almost got as close as he did, because they just were like, okay, I know where it is. I'm just going to walk forward and go like this. So, but yeah, there were not a tremendous amount of tears. I don't know. It was a good party.
Except for when you brought his cake out.
Yeah. Finally got him to eat a piece of that tonight.
It was the big moment.
Little.
You're like, okay, everybody, which is a chore to round all the kids up to have the cake.
You have to do that,
to do the
though.
Cake presentation.
It's the thing they're there for.
With the single candle on it.
Which he loves. He
likes fire.
He made us light that candle every day since. All the way up to today. So this is the fourth day.
So he just like bring the candle and hold it.
If he finds it, yes. Okay. We had to light a fire in the fireplace again today because he wanted a fire so bad. He went up to my wife yesterday.
This could go really wrong.
It's very controlled flames, my fire starter. Yeah. So
it's time. Like, okay, everybody, get into the room here. And
giant half sheet of cookie cake.
And he's crying.
Bawling.
He's bawling his eyes and lungs out.
Mm-hmm. But he stopped when the there was a flame in front of his face. That shut him up, let me tell you. Yeah, and then he's slowly gotten better. He's been practicing, as I mentioned, a lot with blowing out a candle. So he's gradually realizing that he can't go open mouth. He has to actually blow on the candle.
He did get a lot of blowing practice in at this party.
He did.
With his little horn.
The horn,
thing.
He got really good at that. And I actually was trying to get him to use that to teach him how to blow out a candle. I'm like, the way you blow into this horn to make a noise, because, you know, this is something a 2-year-old is going to grasp when I explain it to him. The way you blow into the horn to get the noise to come out is the exact same way you need to blow out the candle, which accomplished nothing. But I explained it to him. So can't say I didn't try.
But you said he got better at it. So
yes,
apparently
without the
help.
Horn. No, yeah, just okay. From me like being like, and then he's just from copying me, basically. But 2 years old, mimicry is fine. But yeah, he's made us sing happy birthday to him numerous times every day. He just likes the song. But he knows it's for him. And then he had another party at daycare yesterday.
Oh my gosh.
This kid's been living at large. I have a few friends who, like, when birthdays come, it is the world stops it being about anyone but them. And then it's like a mania that takes hold and then it's over. I don't get that, so I don't understand it. Apparently my son's got it. So we'll see.
And
if
we
next
haven't
year...
even given our present to him.
I
yet.
Know.
So
yeah, where is it?
Today is technically his birthday.
Yeah.
I
where
was
is
gonna
it?
Bring it, but I knew he wouldn't be awake when I got here.
Uh-huh. You're playing with it at home, aren't you?
We had to wrap it a couple times. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying $40 worth of gift wrap, but whatever. It's antique. It's antique.
So we'll bring it by next weekend. This weekend. Care. Whatever. Just so his birthday will just keep on going, is what I'm saying.
Oh, God, stop. No, it needs to end today. Oh, God, there's so many sweets
he will
in
expect
the fucking
that.
House.
He will expect birthday for the entire month next year.
I know. It's going to get worse, and then it's just going to be birthday year. Birth year. Every year is birth year. It just never fucking ends. Just a constant parade of gifts and sweets, and Daddy just keeps getting fatter because there's always a cake. Every time I turn around, it's a fucking new cake. My father-in-law shows up today, and we're like, oh, he's going to probably bring a small pie or something. He brings a 3-course Pizza Hut meal.
What?
And a cookie cake, a warm cookie cake.
A new cookie cake?
A new cookie cake.
Just the cookie cake that you had got.
That my son didn't want. What do you think he ate? The fucking cookie cake that my father-in-law brought. It's better. It is actually really good. It was warm. And
you
a pie.
You can't compete with warm cookie cake.
You can't. And a pie. So
and
I'm like, so now, like, I was proud that I had eaten so much of the cookie cake that it was remaining. My wife and I have been really working hard, Mike, like really pushing ourselves to new levels of just fucking sugar and fat and cholesterol intake to get this goddamn cake out of our house. And then another fucking cookie cake shows up.
You could throw it out.
Oh, no. My wife is a reincarnated Depression-era baby. That's a fact. You want to play a fun game?
You could throw it out without telling her.
She'll know. That reincarnated Depression-era babies know when you throw away food. You want a fun game? She's not going to hear this podcast for a week and a half. Next time we hang out, before this airs, try to throw away food and make sure she sees you. Like, really make it clear that you are wasting food.
I'm blowing it by saying it on the podcast, but if you really want, I could just say I'm going to take some of it home.
No, that's not waste. Just
get rid of it.
That's not waste.
But I'll just throw it away.
Oh. I'm fine with that. But it's got to be.
She's eventually going to hear this podcast and like.
Well, that's going to backfire.
That's not going to work again.
She holds grudges. Waste leads to grudges. She holds grudges.
Okay,
like a Sicilian.
Edit this out. Just take this part out.
I am definitely not going to do that.
Okay, good. I mean, what?
Huh? But yeah, if you really want to see something funny, just try to throw food away around here. I don't get it. I just don't. I'm like. This has mold. If it has mold on it, she'll toss it.
Oh, okay.
That is the stopping point.
Maybe you should cultivate some mold spores then.
We're getting into a lot of work. I could just eat the fucking cookie cake and get fat. That's also an option. It's the winner. All right. We've been going a long time here.
We have? Seems like we just started.
It's because of all of our super fighting. Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit StolenDress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books. I did have a discussion with Zach Headshot Welch about our missing pilot.
Yes.
And I guess by the end of the month.
Our lost and only episode. Parts of which will make more sense when you see it as opposed to listening to it.
Yeah, but I cut it to be fairly sensical.
All right.
But by which I took out most of the stuff that didn't really make sense. But yeah, I'm excited to see it eventually.
I am too.
What I'm not excited about is it airing like in February and it's just all about Christmas. That's a little weird. But we'll see how it plays. If it's brilliant, it won't matter.
If it sucks, it won't matter.
It also won't matter. So what we're saying is it won't matter.
But in a good way.
But in a good way. We are Buddies in Space. You are?
S. Mike. And you are?
M. Mike.
No, you're...
Cole Karasi.
You're Mixed Master Mikey C.
Oh, shit. Let's do that again.
Mixed Master Mikey C.
Mixed Master Mikey C, obviously.
Yeah.
Where's your hoodie?
I got warm.
I'm warm, but I'm doing the hoodie.
I got really warm.
Yo, this is Mixed Master Mike, you see, and I'm saying, Buddies in Space, peace out, drop this mic.
Word.
Who's supposed to talk? Are you supposed to talk? Am I supposed to talk?